the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
The Stations of the Cross, or the Way of the Cross, made popular by St. Francis of Assisi and St. Alphonsus Liguori. Normally, parishes have the Stations of the Cross as part of their Lenten activities. And in fact, this devotion, which of course is highly recommended by the church, was developed during the Crusades when the knights and the pilgrims began to follow the route of Christ's way to Calvary. Joining us live this morning is our spiritual director, Father John Gordon, for much more on the Stations of the Cross. Father Gordon is the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Gordon. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a joy to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. I'm thrilled to be here. I love to be able to talk about the Stations of the Cross. I love praying the Stations of the Cross. Indeed, I try to pray them not just on Fridays in Lent, but all the Fridays throughout the year, and indeed several times during the week. I have a friend of mine who prays them every single day, I think except Sundays, and maybe during the Easter season. But there's something great about the Stations of the Cross, the humility of God in Jesus Christ, the approachability, our own participation in his passion. You know, the account of the passion in the Gospels is the longest continuous narrative in any of the four Gospels. But the Stations of the Cross kind of add some depth to it. They include some devotional pieces that are not mentioned specifically in the scriptures, but we can understand how they would be placed there. They seem to be very natural. The fact that Jesus falls three times, for example, and all the, some of them are very straight out of the scriptures, the Simon of Cyrene coming to help Jesus, and Veronica wiping his face, all these ways in which we find ourselves able to kind of get close to Jesus, who has done such a tremendously wonderful thing for us. And indeed, that the Stations of the Cross are now in every church throughout the world is a tremendous gift of the church, I think, for us to enter more profoundly and deeply into this great mystery of God's love for us in Christ Jesus.
Well, Father Gordon, for those of our listeners out there that may not be Catholic, or maybe Catholics that just aren't that familiar with this devotion, can you explain what are the Stations of the Cross?
Certainly. There are 14 Stations of the Cross, and in most churches, there's an image of them. Each of the stations spread throughout the church building, and traditionally, they are these. The first station, Jesus is condemned to death. And typically, at each station, there would be an invocation, again, from St. Francis. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. The very Franciscan prayer. Almost all the stations employ that and use that at the very beginning of each station. Then there's often a little scripture reading about that passage, and then a meditation, perhaps then a response by the people, the various ways. So the first station is Jesus is condemned to death. The second station, Jesus receives his cross. Jesus is called to carry the cross. And the third station, right away, Jesus falls for the first time. So humble, so overwhelming is the cross. Remember, Jesus had already been scourged and crowned with thorns. Jesus falls the first time. The fourth station, Jesus meets his sorrowful mother. He meets the Blessed Mother. That encounter with Jesus and his mother can only have been filled with pathos, filled with poignancy, filled with just an overwhelming awareness of love lost, as well as love consummated. The fifth station, Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross. Again, straight from the scriptures, and he's forced to help Jesus carry the cross. And here's where we can find ourselves participating most fully. Lord, help me to be like Simon of Cyrene. Help Jesus carry the cross, which is made heavy by my sin. The sixth station, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. And of course, this is a very beautiful meditation. And the word Veronica literally means a true icon. And according to the tradition, when Veronica wiped the face of Jesus, his image appeared on that cloth. And so it's referred to sometimes as the first icon in which Jesus gives himself to Mary, to Veronica. And many people, when they meditate on that, they realize that Jesus leaves an imprint of himself on every act of kindness and good deed. The seventh station, Jesus falls for the second time, even now helped by Simon of Cyrene, comforted by Veronica. Again, the weight of the cross, it seems it's made heavier and heavier by our onward sins. So the seventh station, Jesus falls for the second time. So now we're halfway through the stations of the cross, and we typically, in most churches, that's one side of the building, and then we come around the other side and continue the stations. The eighth station, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem, who are weeping and mourning, seeing this young, innocent man brought to death. But Jesus tells them, do not weep for me. Weep for your children. Weep for your own sins. We can find ourselves like the women of Jerusalem, overwhelmed by Jesus' agony. And Jesus says, my agony is so that your sins can be forgiven. That's where the weeping belongs, and you could weep for your sins. The ninth station, once again, Jesus falls for the third time. And again, many meditations speak of these, the triple temptation of Jesus in the garden, the triple denial of Peter, the triple fall. It's just overwhelming. Here is Jesus, a strong, healthy man, a carpenter, man who worked with his body. And here he is, succumbed to the overwhelming weight of the cross, his own weakness of our mocking him and the scourging and the crowning and all these things. Jesus falls the third time. The 10th station, Jesus is stripped of his garments. And this is perhaps one of the most humbling and scenes in the Passion, in the stations of the cross, and where Jesus is stripped of the garments, hung naked on that cross, which would have been a source of great shame for any person of modesty, but in particular for the Jewish people who guarded their modesty with great devotion and care. And yet here he is, being led like a lamb to a slaughter. He is stripped of his garments, put there to be mocked and ridiculed, and there he finds himself. And then the 11th station, Jesus is nailed to the cross. And the work of those soldiers nailing his arms and his legs to the cross, what kind of person would allow themselves to do that? We're that kind of person by our sin and our lack of repentance. The 12th station, Jesus dies on the cross. And typically in the meditation of the cross, there'd be a little lingering here, might even be an extra time of kneeling and devotion, and maybe the commentary and the response would be minimal, just meditating. And this is the moment in which Jesus paid this price. This is the great sign of what he has done for us. The 13th station, Jesus is taken down from the cross, and you have perhaps have seen many images. The famous Pietà in St. Peter's by Michelangelo is from this moment, this station, in which Jesus is once again placed in the arms of Mary, just as he had been when he was born on that Bethlehem, in that stable, in that manger. Now, once again, he's placed in the arms of Mary, this time his dead body, this time with a weeping and a sadness. And yet I suspect Mary, although not knowing the fullness of truth, knew enough to say there's more to the story than happens here. And then the 14th station, Jesus is laid in the tomb. And the scriptures are clear that Jesus is placed in a tomb with the heavy stone rolled in front of it. And so this last station has a certain finality to it, or so it would seem, that Jesus is now dead and buried, so to speak. And yet we know that the story does not end at this 14th station. Our devotions end here, and especially on the Fridays of Lent, in which we beg the Lord more and more to be aware of what our sins do. But we know that even as you wait at the empty tomb, we will someday come to it on Easter, and it will be empty.
Well, Father Gordon, thank you for that beautiful meditation on the 14 stations of the cross. I couldn't help but have flashbacks of watching The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel, and you know, those images that we saw in Hollywood fashion come to the big screen. That's what we're meditating on. That's what we're praying about here in the Stations of the Cross.
Absolutely. One of my favorite images in that particular movie is after they have arrived at Calvary, Simon the Cyrene is no longer there, and I'm not sure whether Jesus has fallen or is pushed down. But he, in his pain and in his brokenness, he crawls over to the cross and he embraces it. And all I could think of when I first saw that was, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. But even in the midst of Jesus' pain and suffering, even in the midst of Jesus' weakness, he's in control here insofar as he chooses to give himself over, to place himself into the hands of the Romans and the Jews, to place himself into our sinful hands. And he does this even now today, that even though this is a one-and-done kind of deal, the sacrifice of Christ is renewed at every Mass. Not just the resurrection, but the sacrifice in an unbloody fashion. Jesus once again gives himself to us. And it's as if these stations are relived and relived over and over and over again. And I would encourage you, dear listeners, there's many, many beautiful meditations on the stations, again, following the outline by people such as St. Francis or St. Alphonsus. But Fulton Sheen has beautiful meditations. St. Jose Maria Escrivá has beautiful meditations. St. John Henry Newman has beautiful meditations. Pope John Paul II had developed a set of meditations on a slightly different variation of the stations. Dear friends, I would encourage you to even make up your own meditation on each of the stations. And as you pray them more regularly, you'll find yourself realizing your own participation and the greatness of God's mercy, the greatness of God's love, the greatness of God's compassion for us. In his passion, he was not thinking about himself. He was thinking about us.
Well, Father, I want to remind our listeners that if you go to our Relevant Radio app and you go to pray at the right bottom of the app and then go to devotions and then go to the last devotion, the Stations of the Cross, there's a lot of beautiful prayers there. It takes you through all of the stations, and it's just another tool that we provide on our new and improved Relevant Radio app, Father.
Right, and that is on that app all year long, not just during Lent. It's on the app all the time, dear listeners. So I encourage you to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. And I love that you reminded our listeners that the Stations of the Cross, the Way of the Cross, it's either directly out of Sacred Scripture or based on sacred tradition. So, you know, it's such a powerful way to meditate on the Passion of our Lord. And I was thinking, as you were reading off the different stations, you know, if you combine it with the rosary during Lent and meditate on the sorrowful mysteries of our Lord, and especially, you know, the traditional, you know, meditating on the seven last words of Christ. These are all great ways to really get our hearts ready for the real meaning of those 3 days that changed the course of human history.
That's right. And indeed, if we think of it as the Stations of the Cross, every time we make the sign of the cross, we kind of enter into the mystery of the cross. And so perhaps even to be very, very aware of the great price that Christ paid, because the reason it's good for us to meditate on that is because we realize that the wages of sin is death. This is what would be awaiting us if we did not turn to him, if he did not pay this price. We, dear friends, would be subject to this kind of loss. But as it is, even if we find ourselves carrying our own cross, Simon of Cyrene, Christ himself, is yoked to us. And so we are not alone. This is not really a pity party for Jesus, but rather this is an opportunity for us to experience the power of God's saving love in our lives.
As St. Paul reminds us, we preach Christ crucified. Right. Father Gordon, thank you so much for being with us. Can you give us your blessing?
Oh, I'd be honored to. Dear Lord, I ask a blessing upon all of our listeners on Relevant Radio. I pray, Lord God, that your own passion, death, and subsequent resurrection and gift of the Spirit might inflame us to know that the Christ crucified whom we preach is the Christ risen in our hearts. May God bless you and protect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Gordon. Really appreciate you being with us. It has been a joy. Like what you just heard? Share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.